Hello, Steve. Hello, Jill. It's time to game classy.
Pretty much, I was
okay, fair enough.
Yeah, I was putting it together, and I was like, the fucking Warhounds took forever, and I'm like,
I'm gonna print them bigger.
Well, no, I said to myself, I go, well, what if I tweaked this here and I used this nozzle instead, and I did this with the programming, and it went down from like print time 3.5 months to print time 1 week. I was like, oh, I can do this. I can really fucking do this. it was like 2 weeks, I think, if I like. Not printing constantly, it would be like 2 weeks to print off a warlord, and I was like, I'm gonna fucking print a warlord. For no other reason than the fact I can do it. And I finished up all my commissions, so I was like, I'm gonna do something for my fun.
I guess you are in waste time mode, right?
No, I go back to work Monday. So.
Okay. Well, I mean, you've been in waste time mode.
Yeah, I've been in waste time mode. I really have nothing. I'm just basically dragging my balls on a lot of things right now, so.
Like I said, I will be all in on 3D printers when they are push button receive Titan. Like
it's almost there.
I'll be all in on that.
Yeah, it's I like the kind of fiddliness of in a lot of ways because I'm that type of guy that's like I gotta figure out this problem and I gotta get this.
Yeah, no.
So like a friend of mine,
I ain't about that life.
No, a friend of mine who is like you in a lot of ways where he's just like, oh, this machine will be press button get Titan. He's like. He comes over and he's like, oh, he's look at the machine. He's like, I got to get one. He's, I'm like, no.
Yeah.
Do not do that.
I'm like, not push button receive Titan.
I'm trying to tell him, I go, this is really complicated. And this is the type of guy that gets like frustrated with rule sets and like just gets rid of whole armies because of rule sets. And like, he's just like, I can't play this.
I'm kind of insulted that you said that I'm like this guy.
Well, I mean, but he wants like in terms of the machine.
Ah, I see.
But yeah. But yeah, he will not take the time to get something to work, and it'll sit in his basement unused for like 5 years.
By the time he's ready to use it, there'll be much better ones available.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it'll be like, well, this piece of crap. And like, oh, Jesus, I told you not to buy one. I told his wife. I went up to his wife and I said, do not let him buy one. Do not, because I can't put up with it and you can't put up with it.
It's awesome.
There'll be no way for it. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Game Classy, the Game Classiest podcast. We just want to say that right now we are reorganizing so that we could get our podcast to you quicker, only at the cost of 50% more of whatever you're currently paying for our podcast.
Nice.
So, yeah. Did you see any of the posts today about Forge World online?
No.
Holy shit.
I saw your Holy post that said look at the Facebook comments.
Holy shit.
But what's the deal?
So someone from Forge World pulled the pin on a shit grenade and just lobbed it into the ether sphere.
Mm-hmm.
So Forge World, we talked about this before, they're going towards a stable currency. So like there are multiple currencies on the website because it used to all just be the GBP,
right?
Which I believe is Graham Cracker British Petroleum, something like that. I don't know what that stands for.
It's Great British Penis.
Oh, Great British Penis.
That, idiot.
Yes.
Did you learn anything in school?
Yes. It's penises with a picture of the queen on it.
It's the queen's penis. When you're fucking
the
your
royal
wife.
Penis.
When you're fucking your wife in Britain, you're not fucking her with your penis. You're fucking her with the queen's penis. That's right.
So yeah, it was always by the British brand.
Those aren't your loins. It was the Queen's loins.
So Forge World decided that they're going to make their website buy whatever nation's currency.
Sure.
So US is gonna be the dollar, the Canadians is gonna be in by loonies, Mexico.
Don't the Canadians also have dollars?
They do. It's okay. Canadian dollar, but yeah, I just like call them loonies.
Yeah, because
like,
Australian and Canada and the United States all have dollars.
Yeah, it's not all based on the US dollar.
Right, but they all have dollars.
Dollars.
Like their currency is a dollar.
Or dolares.
A dollar.
A dollar.
Oh, that's gonna be $3 there, eh?
Loony.
Yeah. Why don't you use the metric system and catch up to the rest of the world, you goon?
Yeah, times 30. Well, it was like, times 2, add 32, and you join the rest of the fucking world.
Yeah. That was a good line.
It was a good line. But yeah, you can. $3. That's a loony and a toony. So yeah, you got that's what they're going to be doing now. And so everyone realized that they're doing this to stabilize it so that when they don't have another Brexit fiasco. Not that it was that big of a fiasco.
No.
Granted, the pound dropped like, what, 20 cents? And
the pound, like, cascaded for a while there.
It was like a quarter. They lost like 25 cents on the dollar, which is, granted, a decent amount. But when you think of the grand scheme of things, no one was buying like $100,000 worth of Forge World. And even if they did, it was like one person who was doing it at that time.
Yeah.
You could consider it a flash sale. Forge World probably actually made more money during the Brexit crisis than they probably have made since.
I'm sure.
In that crisis. But so they're doing it to stabilize everything. But now everything in the U.S. and like the let's just talk about U.S. first. The U.S. is like $50 more for a Primark or something like that, and it's ridiculous. Like,
is it $50 more than the previous price, or is it just showing people what the exchange rate was now, and people Oh shit, I was paying a lot of money for this stuff.
No. This is, you can look. It's like what happened with the Great and Clean one. Remember when I explained to you like how it was cheaper to order it through Britain and have it shipped to the U.S. than to actually buy it in the U.S. dollars? It's the same thing now with Forge World.
Well, I mean, I guess I'll continue to not buy Forge World.
But their Forge World is totally pulling like the biggest PR like circle jerk. Like they're totally like, well, we don't have anything to do with setting the prices. Like, yes, you do. Yeah, don't fucking lie to us. Well, now you're saving on the fact that you don't have to pay import taxes on these things. And like, yes, you still have to pay import tax on this stuff.
It's not made in the States.
Yeah, it's not made in the States. All that is exclusive. And for example, a place like New Zealand.
And even if it was made in the States, if it was made by a British company in the States, we would still pay a tax on it because it's made by a foreign company.
Yeah, still have to pay tax on it because it's on the internet. We still have to pay fucking taxes.
There's going to be taxes and taxes and taxes. Yeah,
exactly. And
there's so many taxes, luxurious taxes.
Oh man, his lawyer just got in jail. His lawyer and the other person,
people. The only people left from the original Oval Office dream team would be him and Pence. Everyone else is in prison or on some island banging young Filipino boys. In the case of that dude who looks like World War III happened on his face.
The Mooch? Bannon. Is it the Mooch?
Bannon.
Yeah. What about the Mooch?
The Mooch. The Mooch is gone.
The Mooch is gone. I like how in political terms the term a mooch is like a 2 week period, because that's as long as Scaramouche was the whatever's press secretary.
Yeah.
So they call it a mooch.
Serving a mooch.
He's serving a mooch. So yeah.
I got to serve a mooch.
Yeah.
Oh man, I got arrested. Was it bad? I only had to serve a mooch.
I had to serve 13 kilo mooches.
That's a lot of mooch.
That's a lot of mooch. So but Australia and New Zealand are getting fucked.
Well, that's normal.
Yeah, but I mean, like, more so. So, yeah, you'd normally in New Zealand, like, something would cost, I think it's, like, three times as much currently than, like, it has been in the past. Like, people in New Zealand are just like, fuck it, we're not.
Yeah, just don't buy it.
Buy it
like,
anymore.
Like, all that shit sounds super expensive, so what I would say is don't buy it.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it goes. The way I look at it...
Of course, there's always a way you can acquire your Forge World miniatures at an affordable price.
Well, and that's the thing, is that what I don't understand is why they would set the exchange rate so fucking high. That makes no sense.
Overconfidence.
To me. It's
just overconfidence. Yeah. That's all it is. It's just classic overconfidence. They think that people are just going to be like, eh.
Yeah.
Like... No, they just do it at the exchange rate. Like, if they would have just done it at the exchange rate, nobody would have given a shit.
No, no one would have given. No one would give a two flying fucks.
Fine.
Yeah, I mean,
you can't like just your people aren't gonna buy it. People are gonna, and this is just gonna drive. I mean, I'm sure there's a couple people selling on Alibaba right now who are like, woohoo,
we're in the money, we're in the money.
Yeah, some Russians and some Chinese right now are just
I'm
like,
I'm trying to do
yes.
my Russian accent doing that.
We're
in the money.
That's what I thought it was. Yeah. That sounds like a Transylvanian man.
Blah,
blay.
I only recast Von Karsteins.
and not even many, just the one where he's going blah. I have a lot of them. Would you like to buy one?
Vlad and Isabella.
I put in my wife's life savings into this venture. Now I'm in trouble.
All 13 kopecks.
My shekels.
That's Israel.
Whatever.
Yeah, you got the Russians and the Chinese are like, you know, the Chinese are loving it. They're sitting there in their tiny apartment with 13 people in it, chain-smoking cigarettes, recasting Forge World, all dying of mesothelioma.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a fantastic life they have there in China right now.
No, it depends on where you are.
Yeah, it's true. No, they all are just, no matter where you go, it's just it's just apartment buildings with chain smokers in it.
Oh, well, that part's true, but the mesothelioma part and the working in a factory part, it depends.
Well, no, that's what I'm saying. They're in their little tiny apartment, like, just recasting Forge World. That's all it is.
Ah, yes,
yes,
indeed.
Just covered in, like, those
that resin dust?
That resin dust that's going to kill all of us eventually. Yeah, so, I mean, they're...
We'll all become resin dust once again. from the dust we came. From the dust we shall return.
Resin dust must flow.
That's right.
It's like, Joe, your eyes are blue. Have you been inhaling resin dust? Yes! I can't breathe. So they have all that.
What's his name? A fucking, what's that actor's name?
Patrick Stewart?
No, from Dune and from Twin Peaks.
Kyle MacLachlan?
Kyle MacLachlan, yeah. Fucking Kyle MacLachlan's just snorting a Titan. He's like, how did you do that?
My name is a killing word. Fucking love them. I can't wait for the new one. But yeah, so Forge World just, I mean, it's bad in more ways than one, because Games Workshop, some of their stuff gets overpriced, but most of the time it's okay.
They've been great lately. Like overall, considering where we were a few years, like only a few years ago.
Yeah.
Considering where we were when Fire Slayers dropped 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Considering where we were at that point to where we are now in comparison, every model that's, like, not every model has been like, oh, that's, you know, reasonable, but, like, the vast majority of good. Like, there's a few that there's definitely standouts, like the Chain Rasps. $40 for 10 Chain Rasps is insane, because it's a horde unit.
Yeah.
They can be deployed in units of 40. Don't make that $40. Like, but that's the thing, too. Like, if they were... There always seems to be a weird logic when you're looking at some of the workshop stuff. You're like, oh, I see why these models are a little bit more expensive than average, because you're only ever going to use like 10. So that's where they're trying to make up that loss of margin.
Yeah.
But when you see something like the Chain Rasps, you're just like, shouldn't it be 40 for 20? Like, shouldn't that, like, that was the standard horde price. Like, or the old standard horde price was 30 for 20.
Yeah.
So I would imagine the new current, because there is inflation, would be 40 for 20.
Yeah.
So the fact that they're not is, like, that's pretty ridiculous. They're elite troop priced for goons. So, but some things, new things, do still fall under that. Like, you look at it and you're like, oh, that makes sense. And then some new ones just don't. Like the Chain Rasps.
Well, can we talk about ridiculous?
I don't get it.
Let's talk about ridiculous GW pricing in terms of Adeptus Titanicus.
I thought Adeptus Titanicus was a Forge World game. Or is it a GW game and Forge World's making all of the other models for it?
I think it's a GW game, but Forge World is distributing it.
Okay.
I don't know the specifics behind it. All I know is that the Warlord Titan is $110.
Yeah, so that the box set is a deal.
It's a huge deal. So, yeah, I mean, you get, like, oh, but it comes with a data sheet, and, like, you need these special sheets to play with in this game.
You're
but I mean,
a data,
like,
sheet.
And it's a little bigger. It's slightly smaller than a Night Titan in terms of, like, the actual size of it. Got to see one.
They look very cool.
They're very cool looking.
I've seen all of them. They look cool.
Yeah,
look
I'm building it in 28mm scale right now.
Yeah, they look badass.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's $110. That's pretty high on that end.
Yeah, it's expensive.
Yeah.
That's very expensive. It's Night Titan sized. What's the price of the
Night? It's shorter than a Night Titan. A Night Titan, I think, is, like, $130, I think,
okay.
You can get.
And how much does a Night Titan cost?
Oh, that's what I'm saying, about $130.
Okay. Oh, well, then I guess it's at, like, I guess
I shouldn't say it's $130. I think it's, like, I think they're, like, $150, but I think you can get one for $130.
Okay. So, I mean, then I guess it is kind of in line.
I don't pay those prices.
It is kind of in line with, like, what they're charging. It just probably, it seems weird because, you know, the scale is small, maybe.
Well, it's weird because it's a side game. Like, nobody's, like... When you see a price like that, you're like, I don't want to.
You know what side game has ridiculously good prices from GW? Fucking Blood Bowl.
Yeah, Blood Bowl.
The game is so cheap. Like, I was looking at it and I was like, what the fuck? A full team is like $30.
Yeah.
Like, what the shit? Why does it have to be Blood Bowl?
That's like 10 toonies. Yeah, it's.
Although,
it's,
that, like, I'm not going to lie, that Nurgle's Rotters team.
Yeah.
I'm fucking tempted. I'm tempted, Joe. I'm tempted to play Blood Bowl.
No, you're not.
No, I'm tempted to buy the Nurgle Marauders.
Actually, I think actually you'd do pretty well with Blood Bowl. Blood Bowl is very much like,
yeah,
not, it's not like Shadespire, but it has a very Shadespire-esque feel to it
because it's a board game.
It's a board game, yeah. And it's got a lot of, like, the plays are all very structured. Like, you know what you're doing. There's some variation in dice rolling and goofy. My problem with Blood Bowl is there's a lot of goofy shit with it. Like, the ball exploded. Like, what?
I mean, I played Mutant League Football on the Genesis, so
yeah.
I'm aware of balls exploding.
Yeah. Maybe falling into an acid pit or something like that.
Or hitting a landmine. And then being unable to complete the match because your team's dead.
Welcome to the Mutant League.
Too many of them died. No go.
That's a game that needs to make a comeback.
I loved Mutant League. They ran off the Madden. They ran off the Madden engine. They were great.
Yeah, they were fantastic.
Just do that now.
Well, and I was laughing because I went to the Galloping Ghost yesterday with my daughter.
Did you play Blitz?
We did not play Blitz.
Oh, I love Blitz.
But we were playing Lucky and Wild.
Oh, that game's great.
Yeah, one guy drives and shoots,
the other one just shoots. Yeah.
I was texting Pat. I'm like, how no one's made a Lucky and Wild movie yet?
Lucky and Wild's awesome.
That's a movie.
We gotcha.
Yeah. When you think about it, that's a movie that's destined to do well, especially in this age where the 80s retroism is coming back.
Just do a straight up synthwave Lucky and Wild movie.
Yeah, synthwave, but you make it a little tongue in cheek, not too tongue in cheek, but just a little tongue in cheek.
Who plays Lucky and Wild?
I don't know. I mean,
Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson is Lucky. Dwayne The Rock Johnson is Wild.
There you go.
Lucky and Wild.
You have Dwayne The Rock Johnson playing twins in the film.
Starring Dwayne The Rock
Johnson. Hang on, I have to get my kale.
Kale. That's the fart of foods.
I love kale.
I'm not saying you don't love it. I'm just saying it's the fart of foods. But yes, I think Mutant League can make a good comeback.
I only like baked kale chips is the only way I'll eat kale.
Yeah, I'm not a kale fan. I'll eat other leafy greens other than kale. I don't need kale in my life.
It's good. I got it from Imperfect Produce.
Oh, speaking of, they're our sponsors of our show.
Yeah, I use them.
Yeah, there you go. Imperfect Produce. Yep. Use the sponsorship code PLANET and get your...
Get Imperfect Produce at a discount.
Yeah.
I love Imperfect Produce. They're great. I can't believe
Can you get them delivered out to you?
Yeah.
I can't get it at my house.
If you sign up.
It took us a little while.
Yeah, we signed up, and then as soon as it was available, they messaged us.
Oh, okay.
Because they're expanding their delivery area. So what it is if you sign up and then enough people sign up around you, there's a threshold where you get added to the route. And then, we got a
giant. I prefer a flesh hole rather than a threshold.
Well, sure. We got a gigantic bucket box of vegetables for $15. It's a fucking huge box.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's a great deal, and I honestly for the vast majority of the vegetables, I'm just like, why was this turned down? It looks like a fucking zucchini.
I appreciate that we're a real podcast where we stop in the middle of the podcast and then give our sponsorship there. And it was completely unintentional, but thank you, Steve, because now I don't have to put me mumbling through B's text.
I legitimately use them. I was legitimately cooking some kale I got from them, so it was actually organic.
Well, now I feel bad
just like the kale.
I feel bad about saying that kale is the fart of foods, but...
I love kale.
I'm not saying that you can't love kale. It's like when I say, the prequels are terrible movies. People go, but I like the prequels. I go, you're allowed to like the prequels, but they're terrible movies.
I don't know if they're allowed to like the prequels. Let's not go too far here.
let's not go too far. No, they're allowed. It's a free country still. You're allowed to like the prequels. They're just terrible movies.
I don't know about that.
They're not allowed to say that the prequels are good movies.
All right, but I still don't think they should be allowed to like them.
All right. What was the other thing that something else that happened? Oh, new Shadespire. Speaking of
Night
you winning
Vault.
Sorry, kiddo, you got sent to the Night Vault.
Oh no.
That's pretty much it. It was a really weird announcement. They're season 2 of Shadespire, the Night Vault. And it's it was a video that literally said season 2 of Shadespire, the Night Vault.
Yeah, there was no information whatsoever.
Then they took the video offline for some odd reason.
Maybe they're going to replace it with a new one.
But that's the thing I'm saying. Of all the games that they want to keep secret, why season 2 of Warhammer Underworlds? Why are they being so secretive about that?
I can only guess that they've got a specific plan with what they're going to do with card rotations and formats that's what it is. I don't know.
Could very well
Maybe
be.
They're still gathering data. I still say the easiest solution is to... That is not my name. I still think the easiest solution is to just rotate the neutral cards and let you use all the warband stuff and just have a giant... that's the easiest way to keep that game going forever. You just always rotate the neutral cards from the set.
Yeah, that works. I mean,
it would work perfect. It's like it's already there. It's a perfect solution. They should do it.
Yeah, but they're not going to do that.
Hopefully there's enough people who've agreed and sent them emails about the formatting that, like, hopefully that they do that. I
don't know. I think my bitching about the Stormcast has finally caught on, because now they're actually talking on that Storm and on the podcast that I can understand them. Well, I mean, outside
well,
of their,
I think a lot of people were complaining about the audio.
Yeah. But I was the only one.
Welcome to Stormcast.
I was the only one going on there and bitching at him. Like, for Christ's sakes, I run a 2-bit podcast and we have better audio than them.
Lean into your mic.
You don't listen to a lot of podcasts, do you?
No, not at all. If I have leisure time to listen, I'm usually listening to audiobooks.
Yeah.
Or Japanese lessons.
The Japanese lessons. Konnichiwa.
Konbanwa.
No, whatever.
That's good evening.
Yeah,
konnichiwa is good day. Like,
silly
so.
Moon language.
So, like, Ohio would be good morning, and then konnichiwa is good day, and then konbanwa is good night, or good evening. Like,
yeah, whatever.
Now you know.
It's a moon language. It's going to be taken over by the Chinese anyway.
The same language.
Meow.
At least the writing is the same.
Don't tell that to the Japanese.
They know.
they're aware.
they know.
They're aware.
It's but their language. They know.
But yes, so we are, it looks like they're not dropping Underworlds like a hot potato. I wouldn't think so. I think it was a pretty good seller. I mean,
I think Night Vault is what the game needs bad, because people are getting burnt out.
Yeah.
Because the tournament lists are done, like the game's meta has settled, like, there's nothing, as far as I know, there's no new surprise combination coming out of Leaders,
Well, as you said, Leaders was terrible.
Leaders was overall terrible. But had, like, I would say 4 or 5, like, maybe even 6 literal staples. But it was, like, a 75-card set. So, like, percentage-wise, it was absolutely unacceptable. But the cards that are good in there are fucking good as shit, which is annoying. Like, just make some more of the cards good.
Wow. I can't make any calls on that one. I haven't played in a while. I mean, I still like playing.
It's a great game. Yeah. I think it's a great game. Just you need to definitely differentiate whether or not you're going to play it casually or competitively. Because competitively, like, if you play like against someone who doesn't have like a fluid deck, they're going to fucking die.
Yeah,
and it's not going to be fun.
Yeah, the I think they got some stuff.
Yeah, they're gonna make it happen.
That'll be interesting.
And speaking of which, I have these for you. There's some acrylic On Guard tokens.
On Guard.
And some acrylic action tokens.
Where'd you get these from?
Shadespire. The internet.
They just got you. You just got a bunch of extra.
Yeah.
Ooh, fun. That's cool. Yeah, and they also, I guess they had the Warhammer Open Day or whatever it was. I think it was the Age of Sigmar Open Day, because that's what they did for the Golden Demon. Because the Golden Demon winner was fucking stupid. The guy was like, so the limit is a 60 mil base. The guy took a 60 mil base, stuck a pole up, and then had like a massive 120 mil like epic diorama on the 60 mil base. If I was a judge, I would have knocked it down and said no. And the guy would have been like, well, technically. I go, well, technically my foot is smashing your model.
On the one hand, yeah, but on the other hand, I do appreciate the tech. I do appreciate the well technically.
No,
I do. I mean, there is a level of appreciation I have for that. Like, he did not break the rules. The miniature was on a 60 millimeter base.
He didn't break the rules, but I broke his model.
I can see both of your points, but he is technically correct, and as you and I both know, that is the best kind of correct.
That was the best kind of correct. I was talking.
Speaking of, did you watch Disenchantment?
I have watched Disenchantment.
Did you enjoy it?
I've only watched, I think, up to episode. I think episode. We're watching episode 8 tonight.
Ah, very good.
I like it.
I like it a lot.
I think.
Yeah. I think it's really good.
My problem is just like Futurama. When Futurama was on, I was like, "This isn't The Simpsons. It'll never be as classic." Because I can actually remember watching the pilot for Futurama, because I was like, it's the guy who did The Simpsons. I quote The Simpsons incessantly. I
loved Futurama the second I saw it. I was like, oh.
It grew on me eventually.
This is The Simpsons for me. That's what I said.
Wow, a turnip just hit me.
Be careful, a turnip just hit Cole. That's why it's imperfect produce. It's violent. But yeah, I feel like it's going to grow on its own. I think there's some characters who really need to develop as character. I think Like, Elfo is funny because he's very one note, and there's some background characters.
I'm Elfo.
Hi, I'm Elfo.
He's humorous.
Yes, and there's a couple background characters that I do really enjoy. But I think that they need to grow a tiny bit. And once you get that, like, once like people like Hermes and Zoidberg and
hit their groove.
Once they hit their groove with those characters,
it became awesome.
Then it became a fucking fantastic show.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Like once Zoidberg became who Zoidberg was, I think that's like when the show took off. Because I'll still, like, my favorite thing ever is when the robot Santa Claus won, when they all come in, like, I'm Santa Claus, and then Zoidberg comes in, and I'm his friend Jesus. Yeah. I was like, that's funny.
It's good stuff.
And I think that the show will get better. It's just some of the side characters need to develop.
I enjoyed it very much. I can't wait for the next episodes to start.
I like Necromancer Joe. He's my favorite character.
That's good.
It's like, ah, it's super creepy.
Yeah, it's good.
But yeah, I also, the art style is weird. It took a second to grow on me, like quite a bit to grow on me, because it's like a watercolor back. Like, the backgrounds are these gorgeous watercolor paintings, like hyper detailed mm-hmm. fantasy world. But the characters are very, very like cell shaded.
Yeah,
like
they're Simpsons. They're graining.
Yeah,
but digitally drawn grainings.
But it's not even like, because there's like levels. Like, you look at Futurama and you look how beautifully that show was animated.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not poorly animated. It's just different, and it looks a little rougher.
Well, I think it's because it has digitally animated characters on classic painted backgrounds.
Yeah,
I think, like, that's why there's that feel, because it is a juxtaposition.
Yeah, and I, like, for the first like two episodes, I kept saying to myself, like, man, I wish they spent a little more money to fix up the animation and make it look a little bit better. But I'm like, they could have if they want. This is like a they purposely did it mm-hmm. this way because this is an artistic choice.
Right.
Because there's no way, because Matt Groening has all of the money in the world. He literally is probably one of the richest people that we don't talk about.
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, the man created The Simpsons.
I have to imagine he's phenomenally wealthy.
I mean, I think it was the guy, who's it, Sam Simon, was the one who died of cancer just recently. And he was talking, like, he was on a podcast before he died, and he was talking about, like, I have all of this money. Like, I have billions of dollars, and I'm going to give it away before I die. And that's, like, my thing. He gave it away to, like, animal charities because he was like,
good
fuck people. People are terrible.
Good for him.
Yeah. And then he died awfully of cancer, which is sad. But at the same time, it's like, holy shit, this dude is hyper loaded. So, like, Matt Groening, if he wanted to make something look super beautiful, he could have just spent the extra money. He's like, oh, $1 million to make this look better? Psh, go ahead. Do it. But yeah, I like it. I think it could play a little bit more into some fantasy stuff. I finally got to the episode with the Griffin. Where it was like a part man, part lion, part woman, part lion, part eagle. Like, you're a woman?
Gender is a spectrum.
Gender is a spectrum.
Yes. I was like, yay.
But the, like, once I started getting there and getting a little more on to the fantastic side, I started liking that.
There is more of that. Like, I think that's going to be a heavy in the second season.
Yeah. Or the second half of the first season.
Yes, the second half of the first.
Yeah. The laughing horse was my favorite part of that season.
How do I know he didn't do that? How do I know he didn't do that already?
Because I was laughing. I was like, that would be hysterical to throw into a D&D game. It's just the laughing horse.
Yeah.
And the horse laughs.
Yeah, the horse laughs. Does it talk? Nope.
So I wanted to run this by you. It was an idea I'm having. I can say this because I know the people who are, maybe Pat B might listen to this, so he'll get a clue. So I'm planning for my annual Halloween RPG game. Last year I did Call of Cthulhu. Year before that I did Zombie and Ghostbusters, and I did Zombies and blah blah blah. This year I'm doing Willy Wonka.
Are you doing Blood in the Chocolate?
No, because I don't want the villain to be a giant fat lesbian, and like a lot of the other stuff in that game is kind of stupid. I read through it just to get an idea. I like some of it. Like, some of the pygmy stuff is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Some of the poison traps are pretty cool. Yeah.
The dungeon's really good. The villainous is weak, but all the other stuff is good.
I mean, the villainous is a little weak. I think the backstory is kind of stupid too. Like, why is it in 16th century Netherlands?
They're all like that, but that's the whole thing, because Lamentations is in alternate history.
Yeah.
Like, that's what it's like. It's weird history.
Yeah.
They shifted from generic fantasy to weird history at some point along the line.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Well, I know they can't necessarily do Willy Wonka because Willy Wonka is owned by the, you know, the doll estate. And so they're not going to do that. But I want to do Willy Wonka because I want to give my group the feeling of Willy Wonka. But I was thinking, like, what system should I run that under? Should I just do like a hodgepodge or I don't know. Like, I don't want to make it super complicated, and I just want to make it, like, really quick. I'm going to give everyone...
Just use Tunnels and Trolls.
Use Tunnels and Trolls.
Tunnels and Trolls is easy as fuck.
Yeah.
Tunnels and Trolls is only D6s, and you roll... You're either rolling the D6s of your weapon or 2D6. That's it. There's no other rolls in that game.
Oh, okay. Because I was looking at it, and what I wanted... Because I want to make this almost like player versus player as well as a scenario, because I want it to, like... There will be a winner. It'll be the person who survives this. The last person alive will be the winner of the chocolate factory.
Do use Tunnels and Trolls. Tunnels and Trolls, you're either making an attack roll or a saving throw, and that's it.
Yeah.
And everything's that. So it's like, if I'm attacking you with my sword, it'll be an attack roll. If I want to jump away from you, that's a saving throw.
Mm.
Yeah, it's very simple, and it's fast. It's a good one.
Yeah. I was thinking, like, and giving people, like, alternate... What I want to do is I want to give everybody three... or like the main there's the main goal, which is win the chocolate factory, mm-hmm. and then there's gonna be like three other goals, like you're working for Slugworth and you got to get
the gobstopper.
You got to get in the gobstopper without me seeing, or because I'm gonna play Willy Wonka / the game master. I think that'll work the best.
Is it just gonna be actually Willy Wonka?
I really want to run it as Willy Wonka.
Be any combat or anything.
No, there'll be combat. I mean, there'll be like things like, you know, you might have to go up against, like, a chocolate monster or, you know, I was thinking, like, chocolate bunnies and stuff like that, like, attacking and shit like that. Maybe, I don't know, I fucking, who knows?
I want to drink that fizzy soda and just fucking blast my ass out of there.
Yeah, like weird, like, candy animals or, like, having to fight gummy bears, like a gigantic gummy bear, I was thinking would be fun to
have. I think I would try to eat an Oompa Loompa. That would be one of the first trials.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, they look like they're candy.
Yeah, but they're poisonous.
Are they?
Yes. No. And venomous.
I wonder if it'd be worth it. Oompa loompa doopity doo. Holy shit, he's fucking eating Carl. It's delicious!
Let's get him, guys!
Just me eating more Oompa Loompas, like tearing him in half, just gorging on their blood.
Oh, he's still eating the Oompa Loompas.
That guy is eating all of our Oompa Loompas.
Yeah, so I'm thinking, like, I was going to give them, like, three alternate, like, victory conditions as well. So, like, if you accomplish, like, let's say I have multiple people make it through the actual scenario, like, the winner might actually depend on who's accomplished the most of their side
of their goal.
Of their goals.
Slugworth
and, you know, shit like that, or like stealing a sample of the chocolate river, or like pissing in Willy Wonka's, you know, fucking bubble boat.
Take that,
Willy Wonka. Yes. And you know, of course, and I like a lot of the stuff from I think some of the stuff from Blood and the Chocolate was a little repetitive. Like, oh, they're blowing up into a blueberry again. Oh, they're blowing up into a blueberry again. Mm. Oh, now they're in an orgy with the blueberry woman. That's why is that in this?
Nice.
Okay, they're doing that multiple times. Oh, all right. And I think I wanted to have like some human sacrifice stuff in there. Like Willy Wonka is legit trying to summon an elder thing through chocolate.
So that's cool.
Like a chocolate Cthulhu.
I'm down. Maybe. A Choc-Thulu?
Choc-Thulu.
Is he cream filled?
No, he's got nuts.
No.
But it, like,
I wanted an elder thing with nougat.
Nougat. I am the elder thing known as nougat.
Ooh, sounds delicious.
By the hoary eyes of nougat.
Delicious.
And I was also thinking of giving people like things to play off of other people. So, like, for example, one character might actually be allergic to nuts. And so
that'd be a dangerous place to be for that character.
Exactly.
How many points do you get for that?
Well, if you're dangerous. So people will have weaknesses. Like, I really love, like, your character really or your character's allergic to nuts. And so they're going to be going to a room like, we're going to the almond, like the Jordan Almond room. And someone might, like, the person will be like, well, can we go to this place instead? And, like, if the other players can convince everybody to go to this one location, it might actually kill that character off.
Dude, I'd hit them with my special ability, Sugma. No question.
Sugma?
Sugma, yeah.
Sugma nuts?
Sugma nuts!
Yeah.
And then Ligma. Ligma balls!
Oh, that was funny 2 weeks ago, Steve.
Nah, it's still going.
It's still going.
It is still going.
But yeah, so that's what I'm thinking. So you think Tunnels and Trolls might work out as a...
I think Tunnels and Trolls would be flawless for it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because Tunnels and Trolls has... the skills are all made up. Like, it has a list of skills you can use, but you can just make them up. The only thing that matters is if the skill is... focused or broad. So, like, you could do, like, history. So your character has, like, a good grasp of, like, history. But then you could do focus where it's, like, ancient Egyptian history. So what happens is you don't have a general... You can't take a general history test, but you can take your test on ancient Egyptian history, and your test is really easy because it's your focus. And then the stats are awesome. So the way they work is it's 3d6, just like D&D, like classic D&D. You roll 3d6, you assign them where you want at the end. You re-roll triples.
Okay.
If you roll a triple, you re-roll it and get that. You add that stat. So you can have a character that's like a starting stat of like a 20 or a 30 or something if you roll crazy. It also makes the worst roll you could think of, three ones, into actually a pretty good roll because you get three ones and then you get to roll again. And you add it together. So it's
pretty
nice. Unless
you roll three ones again.
Then you get to keep rolling.
What?
You continually roll. If you keep rolling triples, you keep rolling.
That'd be the worst, if like to get like a three triple, but it's always on ones. So it's like, I got a nine. I rolled three triples. Well, it'll be like, you could roll it again, so.
Yeah, you would roll it again. There's no way to end on a nine. If you roll triple ones, your stat's going to have to be higher than nine, because if it's a nine, then you're going to roll again.
It's true.
Yeah, so, and then stats are important / not important, because stats go up and down like crazy in, because that's how you track HP is your constitution. Man. So like, when you take damage, your constitution goes down. I love it. I think it's one of the best systems out there.
Yeah, I always pre-gen the characters because when you're playing with like a bunch of people who never do role playing,
sure, yeah, pre-genning their characters is fine. Yeah. What I'm saying is like you could roll the dice to pre-gen the characters and it would be fine.
Yeah, I mean, just because I'm just like, you know what, I just don't want to sit through like make your character situation. Most people don't care enough.
If you wanted to though, like Tunnels and Trolls is the game to do it because it is fast as fuck. Because that's it. Like, you heard me. Like, you roll the stats, you pick your race, and you have, like, X skills. That's it. There's nothing else. It only gets more complicated if you want to play a wizard. But even then, it's kind of barely more complicated because there aren't that many spells in the game.
What if I make one of the characters like a candy wizard?
You should.
What would that be? Like Sugarmancy?
The spells are in Tunnels and Trolls are all generic.
I know, but I'm saying like, what would a person like in the Willy Wonka world, it'd be Sugarmancy, wouldn't it?
I mean, it could be. You could call it Chocomancy, Sugarmancy.
Well, yeah. Well, Chocomancy would be a subset of Sugarmancy.
You mean like the overall practice? The overall practice would be called Candymancy.
Candymancy.
Because it specifically would be candy. Because the Sugarmancy, because that'd be more than just candy. It's Candymancy. It's Candymancy. You know, candy.
Yeah, so I mean, like, you could be like a Taffy Mancer.
Yeah, exactly. You have a Taffy Mancer, you have a Choco Mancer.
Yeah. I like this idea. It would go with the Adventure Time role-playing game.
A Nougat Mancer.
A Nougat Mancer. The worst type of Mancer.
Look out! He's a Nougat Mancer! Prepare to drown in 6 million liters of Nougat.
What exactly is Nougat? I don't know.
How much is a liter? I don't know what that means.
Well, here's 6 millions of it. Liter of cola.
I need a liter of cola. This place is great.
Cola Mancer.
A cola mancer? Well, a dangerous subset.
It's like just like the... He's like lifting the pop. Like the pop's flying on both sides of him.
It's good.
Just cola, though. It's not Sprite.
Yeah.
You can't...
He can't... Sprite would actually probably hurt him.
Yeah.
Like you throw Sprite at him, he's like, ah!
Lemon lime!
No!
This is not the rich cola taste!
The brisk flavors of lemon lime are defeating my bold cola flavor!
I can control all the colas. Coke, Pepsi, Royal Crown. I just call it RC because I use Royal Crown so often I like to abbreviate it.
All the doctors.
Dr. Pepper.
Bold, Thunder.
Mr. Pepper, which is the generic brand of Dr. Pepper.
Well, there's a lot of generic Dr. Peppers.
Is Tab considered a cola?
Tab's a cola.
Tab's a cola.
Yeah, Tab's a cola.
Yeah, there you go. Tab.
Tab.
Can you control Crystal Pepsi? Well, you see, now we're getting to some weird realms right now. We can't, you know. We're splitting hairs.
Crystal Pepsi doesn't damage me, but I can't exactly control it.
I can control it, but there are consequences.
Yeah, there are consequences.
They got to roll on a table. It's a whole thing.
Yeah. You don't want to do that.
I like this idea. I am a master in all that is gummy.
A gummy mancer? It'd be potent. Yeah. He has gummy golems, giant gummy bears.
Well, that sounds like he's like a druid. He has just like gummy bears.
Throw some gummy bears on the ground and they grow to golem size and fight. Gummy golems. And you could just rule them as gelatinous cubes so they could just ensorb people.
Oh, yeah, exactly. That would be the whole thing.
Just a fucking rotting corpse inside a gummy bear. It's being dissolved. Yeah. Be good.
Gummy worms just like wriggling around, wrapping around people.
I think the gummy worms would work best as a swarm of like regular sized gummy worms, like just like burrowing into your skin. You're like, gummies!
gummies! They're under my skin!
Yeah, they come out of your mouth. You
oh my god.
Melt.
That'd be fucking awesome in the game though. Have like they're in like, you know, the opening scene where the people are walking through the big garden, like with all the candy and everything like that, and all of a sudden they step on like a gummy worm patch. He's like, "Be careful of the gummy worms!" And like you have to roll a dodge, and if you don't, they're like crawling into your skin. Like,
yeah, they just melt their way into you.
No, they bore. I think they would bore them way into you.
How? They're gummy. They would have to melt their way in.
I mean, gummy. You ever eaten an old gummy worm? Those are pretty hard.
I don't know. I like the concept of them like putting a digestive acid in and just like burrowing.
Oh, okay. Like
you.
I can see that. Yeah.
Because that would be extra painful.
Or just like swarming up and like going to your nostrils and your mouth.
Yeah,
and your ears.
Sure. You can get choked out. Yeah, it'd be good too.
You need to see a corpse lying on the ground stuffed with gummy worms.
And then of course the ultimate combination. You get the diet soda and the Mentos. Put that together and just fire off a fucking.
No,
beam.
It would be Pop Rocks and Coke.
Pop Rocks and Coke would be like that would be like a last resort, taking yourself with them though.
See you in hell, Candy Boys.
Yeah. See you in hell, Candy Boys. He worked exclusively in the field of gummy. Would you two stop saying gummy? Yeah, that's good.
But yeah, I would see like stuff like that in the game would be pretty fantastic.
Yeah.
Willy Wonka's technically a gummy mancer. I am the ultimate candy mancer. I am expert in all the fields.
He knows all of the Mancies.
Yeah, I think that would work. I like this idea because some of the stuff is kind of dumb, like the Mike TV thing. Like, oh, you're in a room with a big thing that's gonna transmit the bar.
Yeah, Mike TV was really fucking stupid because it was a candy factory with a giant TV in it.
Yeah, I mean they had to make something that would work and like an ironic punishment,
but,
I guess.
But why? Like, why would you put that kid in the story? Because it doesn't make any sense. Because it's a fucking candy factory.
I don't. Roald Dahl doesn't always make winners. Okay,
he doesn't ever make winners. Fucking Willy Wonka is a terrible movie.
Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory is an amazing movie.
Terrible film.
I take that back. There are like one or two moments like Cheer Up Charlie that you're just like, oh my fucking god.
If you
let's
can
get
make it
this.
Past Cheer Up Charlie.
Well, it's cut from most broadcasts.
So fucking
it's
awful.
So fucking awful. And you get Grandpa Joe, who's the worst person in
the world.
The
shiftless layabout Grandpa Joe. Oh, can't work. And he's fucking dancing around.
Candy Factory.
Candy Factory. Shiftless.
We got a golden ticket. We got a
yeah. Suddenly, that's his golden ticket too.
Yeah, it's his golden ticket to get out of this fucking hellhole.
That son of a bitch, fucking Grandpa Joe.
He's what the Republicans are warning us about. Is what I'm saying.
It's true. And fortunately, he mostly only exists in the world of fiction.
Not according to the Republic. Well, according to the Republicans, most of those people that they're upset with were resolved in the world of fiction.
Yes,
their own personalized fiction.
That is true.
But yeah, I think that would work. I like. You ever see Matilda? That's a Roald Dahl book.
Yeah, Matilda's pretty good.
James and the Giant Peach.
I liked Matilda when I saw it when it was brand new. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen it since.
Well, I mean, it's a kid's movie. I don't expect you to be like, you know what I have a, you know what I want to watch? Matilda.
That's where I'm at. James and the Giant Peach, I really appreciated the stop motion of that movie, but overall the movie was kind of
It wasn't the best movie, but.
Yeah. I don't know. I distinctly very much dislike Willy Wonka.
I find that really funny.
I hated it when I was a kid, and I still hate it. Never stopped hating it.
I was never a huge fan of it. I think I appreciate it more now as an adult. I can appreciate the film craft.
I actually liked the fucking Johnny Depp version better because he was fucking weird. He was weirder. It was better when he was like a fucking weirdo.
I like the fact that Willy Wonka the Chocolate Factory gave birth to an entire realm of fetish pornography.
Oh, inflation?
Inflation, yeah.
You think it was all from Willy Wonka?
I guarantee you 90%
of it. I'll say a bunch of it was from Willy. I will give it credit with a bunch of people probably got inflation fetishes
from it. Well, I believe
that.
I believe a lot of the times, like, the furries come from... The original furry was when Bugs Bunny dressed up as a girl rabbit.
Are you sure it wasn't the ancient Egyptian gods?
I'm sticking with...
Where they were literally furries. Egyptians worshipped furries, Joe!
They did. No, I'm sticking straight up with when Bugs Bunny dressed up as a girl bunny, that was the birth of the furry movement.
You think so?
Yeah.
I think
a lot of people will go
I'm
with...
I'm going with ancient Egypt.
I think a lot of people... Well, you go with ancient Egypt with anything.
What can I say? They knew what they were doing.
This NASA engineer created the Super Soaker in 1994. The ancient Egyptians did it back in -2000 BC.
They unfortunately didn't have a Super Soaker.
Well, that we know of.
That's true. They did just unearth that, like, 38,000-year-old cheese or whatever.
They did.
Now you gotta eat the cheese and drink the sarcophagus juice.
The sarcophagus. That was such a fucking letdown. It's like you have the sarcophagus.
What did you think it was gonna be full of?
Well, I thought it was gonna be full of bones, but it's full of raw sewage. Is
and
it?
Bones.
And bones. But it's all like, oh, that's right. This is a third world country. They don't have good sewage systems. Yeah. Well, neither does Flint, Michigan, but
yeah.
First world country.
Are we?
Are we
really?
Yeah. Well, I think Willy Wonka, if you look into Willy Wonka in terms of, like, its film craft and its acting, and its songs are really good, too. I mean, like, the Oompa Loompa songs are really fucking good. It's fucking trippy as shit.
The Oompa Loompas are definitely catchy. The movie is, like, it's super inconsistent. It, like, goes, it has way ups and way downs. Overall, as a film, I despise it. I do really like Gene Wilder.
Yes.
I very much enjoy him screaming, "You lose, good day, sir."
You get nothing.
You get nothing. Yeah, like, I like that.
You lose, good day, sir.
I think Charlie himself is just so off-putting and, like,
he's
infuriating.
Off-putting.
Like, I just want to punch him and never stop. All of the kids in that movie, just I want to beat the shit out of them.
I think that's what makes it good is the fact aside from Charlie, who's supposed to be your partner.
Unless they definitively killed them, there would be no...
Yeah.
That would be the only saving grace.
Well, I mean, Charlie is your protagonist, so you have to have him as your... As the kid you like. And but, I mean, it's like, at the same time, it's like, no, he did break the rules. He did take the fizzy lifting drink. He did steal a gobstopper. You know, it's like...
Yeah.
He did do a lot of shitty things.
Yeah, he sucks. There's no worthwhile protagonist in that film other than Slugworth. I guess he's kind of a good guy.
He worked with Willy Wonka.
He's got those cool shades.
He was trying to suss out the betrayers.
Also has the cool shades.
He does.
Daddy, I want a squirrel.
A squirrel.
I
want the world.
I think it's a movie that is
world.
Very much like a C, and like people are like, for some reason, like, jizz all over it.
Well,
This Is a Wonderful Life situation.
No, this is a It's a Wonderful Life.
Whatever.
This Is a Wonderful Life. That's a David Byrne song. This Is a Wonderful Life. No, this that's
your money or your life.
Thinking about it. But no, that's I think a lot of people like it. It is a musical, and I think a lot of the songs are really good in it. And people inexplicably love certain musicals. Like,
that's true. People love Cats.
Yeah, Cats was the longest running Broadway. What?
I like the Sweeney Todd movie.
Sweeney Todd is...
The musical is not like that.
Ah, okay. Yeah. I think Zubbly...
It's Sondheim,
There's Zubbly Zoo. That's, I think Zubbly Zoo is because of Cats.
Yeah. For sure.
And people love Cats. I just don't get it. Like,
Andrew Lloyd Webber had a cult following in the 1980s, and it pretty much culminated with Cats. Like, you got to remember that Andrew Lloyd Webber was putting out musical after musical, and he was, like, Broadway's darling. All of a sudden, he puts out fucking Cats. Like, it all leads up to fucking Cats, and people are just, they lose their goddamn minds about Cats.
I mean, I guess to be fair, as a young lad, when I first watched Cats, I was very sexually aroused by many of the women.
Well, yeah, they're wearing skin tight outfits and they're acting like fucking tomcats.
Yes, it was.
I mean,
although fuck Mr. Tumnus.
Mr. Tumnus.
Fuck Mr. Tumnus. No, not Tumnus is from
Wardrobe. Yeah.
Who's the fucking
McCavity, the mischievous cat?
McCavity. Maybe it's McCavity. Who I'm thinking of. I don't know. I think he has a bow tie. I don't know. Fuck the cat with the bow tie.
Rum Tum Tugger.
Rum Tum Tugger. Yes. Fuck Rum Tum Tugger. Yes, that's exactly.
I'm
what
glad
it is.
My knowledge of Broadway is finally coming to handy.
Fuck Rum Tum Tugger.
I was complaining. Like
I'm trying to think of a cat song, but all I can think of is Zubily Zoo, Zubily Zoo.
What? Because Jellicles can and Jellicles will, Jellicles can and Jellicles will.
It's like musicals is such a fucking bizarre like other world.
It's
like,
a pure. It's a American art form.
It's so weird.
It really is. Because it all started, because like the musicals took off because of operettas, like Gilbert and Sullivan and stupid shit like that. Like, because like people were like, I don't want to see operas. Operas suck and they're boring. Like, and you know me, I like the highbrow shit all the time, but I'm like, fuck opera. I can't sit through opera. And then you got operettas, which are just like funnier operas, but they're not really that funny. They're kind of funny. They're just people wearing goofy outfits. Like it's just Gilbert and Sullivan.
I'd rather just watch Kabuki.
Yeah. I mean, well, you could watch the Mikado, which is the operetta that's all about ancient Japan. That's where they get the three little mates from school. Are
oh, God. I don't think I want to watch this.
No. There is a version where Groucho Marx plays the Lord High Executioner.
That kind of sounds awesome.
Yeah. But, I mean, you like stuff like Pirates of Penzance.
Yeah, it's true.
I am the very model of a modern major general.
I want you to do the entire score from the HMS Pinafore.
We sail the ocean blue and our faithful ships are beauty.
Yeah.
But then it's like in America, all of a sudden you get this musicals explosion. And all music, like there's certain things like when I was doing it, like the person directing the show was like, okay, we're doing Oklahoma. I'm like, oh, great, Oklahoma, this is great. All right, so we're in the middle of this four-hour production. We're going to have a dream ballet. Why? Well, that's the way it was originally produced. We don't have to do it that way. We don't have to put a fucking dream ballet in.
I wish our musical theater was a little closer to Japan's musical theater, because when Japan does musicals, they do... not Kabuki. Not traditional. I do like traditional stuff, but... I saw a Kabuki theater when I was a super little kid, but fucking love Kabuki. But they have musical when they do a stage show. More often than not, it is a musical version of a something. So like, it would be like they do like Shrek the musical.
Yeah.
Like that's all the musicals in Japan. It's like everything is like a musical of something. So like they have a fucking Card Fight Vanguard musical. Like I'm like, that's fucking awesome. Yeah. Like because that's what I want to see musicals out of shit that like because like, Shrek's at least kind of reasonable as a musical because there's a lot of songs in Shrek. It's a musical movie.
Every musical that's out except for like
I want musical X-Files.
Well, I mean like Cole was talking about Sweeney Todd, which is Sondheim. Sondheim is the guy who writes musicals that no one wants to go see. Like no one fucking wants to go see Sweeney Todd. I mean, it's a crazy fucking boring ass musical. But like every other thing on Broadway is like this. It's a musical made of this movie. It's Mean Girls the musical, Waitress the musical, Spaceballs the musical.
I want them to be. I want them to be more esoteric with their choices. I want them to do like really weird, like Seinfeld the musical. They like, give me that. Yeah, you have a live a cappella group doing the boom boom boom
boom boom. I think like if I was gonna do Seinfeld the musical, I would just do it all a cappella.
Oh sure,
just get an a cappella group to do that. Yeah,
you have to have a lot of a cappella.
Yeah, we'd hire Rockapella.
Crazy Joe DiVola.
Kick Kramer in the head.
What happened? Crazy Joe DiVola. The helmet saved my life.
You have a seizure every time Mary Hart talked. We didn't talk about gaming enough in this episode.
But we talked about Seinfeld and musicals and Blood in the Chocolate. It's close enough.
I like musicals as much as the next guy, but I actually probably more than the next guy. But
yeah, I was gonna say, judging by the amount of knowledge you just dropped, it's definitely more than the next guy.
My daughter was really into what's the fucking musical that was just Hamilton, of course. She loves Hamilton.
Oh, okay.
And then so she was watching some YouTube video of Lin-Manuel Miranda, the guy from Hamilton, singing with James Corbin from his late night show.
And Corbin Dallas?
Yes. They were doing Les Miserables, right?
Les Miserables.
And so she was like, oh. So she was listening to the music from that, and I'm like, oh, this is just going to be a whole thing. And she's going to be one of those musical theater kids who's really into, like, fucking Les Miserables for some odd reason. I'm like, yeah, you're really into that, you know, 19th century French book. You ever read Les Miserables? The title's not just clever. It's actually miserable to read.
It looked awful, so I didn't want to.
Not the musical. I'm saying the actual
book. No, the book. The book looked awful. So yeah. I judge books by their cover. Usually if there's no wizard or dragon or like
there is
robot.
There is a pretty big epic battle at the end.
There's
though.
A sad-looking French girl on the cover. I was like, meh.
Yeah. There is an epic battle at the end where a bunch of teenagers get shot, which is pretty cool.
I mean, that's fine.
And you do get the Russell Crowe meme. Where he looks at the window all sad,
yeah,
and then he looks away.
That's really good. I do want to watch that movie. I heard it's pretty good.
It is. Russell Crowe is terrible. I mean, a terrible singer.
Russell Crowe has only ever been in one movie where he was good in, and it was fucking Gladiator. I will fight anyone who says otherwise. He was great in Gladiator, and Gladiator was a great movie. Every other movie... Yeah. Actually, you know what? I'm going to contradict myself. Cinderella Man was pretty good.
I like Cinderella. Man was pretty Hollywood by the book.
Cinderella
Paul
Man was
Giamatti.
Pretty, yeah, it was definitely by the book, but like he was not bad in Cinderella Man.
He broke his hand. He had to work with his other hand, and then his other hand got really good at punching.
Fighting around the world.
There's like a song by, I think, who is it? It's an Irish band. They did a song called The Day I Punched Russell Crowe.
That's awesome.
I can't think of what it is, though.
He does punch people.
He does. And he sold off a bunch of his movie memorabilia because he got fleeced in a divorce case.
I saw that. He donated the like crotch thing to like a koala... what is it? A koala syphilis clinic for John Oliver?
Yeah, well, those koalas, they get syphilis like crazy.
The sex-crazed koalas.
It's all of Australia right there. Can't buy Forge World.
I think they donated those to the Blockbuster.
Yeah, one of the... No, that is still the last Blockbuster.
Oh, the one from Mystery... They got the Mystery Alaska underwear.
Or maybe that one's still closed. No, that one did close. There is one Blockbuster left.
Yeah, it's in Alaska.
No. There's another one.
Oh, okay.
The Alaska one closed.
Oh, okay. No, those koalas, they get syphilis, just like all of Australians. They're all just covered in syphilis and eucalyptus leaves. That's why they can't get the Forge World.
Fiery eucalyptus.
Fiery eucalyptus.
Yeah, you know, the trees just burst into flames.
I know, they're in
California. Whoops. California got owned by Australia from like 70 years ago.
Is there any other gaming news we should cover before we cut?
Did we cover any gaming news?
We covered the stuff from Games Workshop, which is not unusual.
Oh, Forge World.
Forge World stuff. And Pelennor Fields is up for release. I can't really say anything until the rules get released. Are you being tempted, Gandalf?
Don't tempt me, Frodo. I said Frodo is tempting me, even though I specifically told him, don't tempt me, Frodo.
I could see you just being like, God damn it. Every time like something pops up.
Every time I see something in my Facebook feed, that is what I am. I'm just like, God damn it.
I just wish they resculpted some of that shit, because it would be so much better of a game, but they're not going to resculpt it. They're going to use the same fucking shitty sculpts, and it's going to be the same fucking nonsense of broken pikes on your Uruk-hai. Like, well,
you got to replace those with metal, man.
Who's got the time for that? No one's got time to replace bikes.
You're printing a fucking Titan. Yeah, there's time.
Printing a fucking... Don't confuse me with the average gamer. I'm sitting on a big pile. I'm sitting on a smog-like horde of miniatures.
Ow, they're really poking my nipples.
It's like, I got so many miniatures, and what do I decide to do? I decided to print a fucking Titan. A fucking third Titan, a Warlord Titan. Why? For the hell of it. I don't know. Don't judge me. But aside from that, go to planetarbitrary.com for Planet Arbitrary Needs. You can follow me on Twitter at Planet Arbitrary. You can follow Steve at...
I am Command Throw.
Like our Facebook page, /GameClassyPodcast. You could also like, comment, subscribe on YouTube. And like, comment, subscribe on the iTunes, which is the best way you can help out the podcast. You can listen to our sister podcast, the Play On Podcast, where Steve and Pat talk about, I don't know, Atari games.
Ooh, Atari. Danky Kang, that's my favorite Atari game.
Sornic. And you can also listen to Deconstructing Daycare, where they talk about kids' cartoons and how they relate to being an adult, something like that. I'm not really good at elevator pitches, apparently. And you can also check out Steve and I's Instagram pages. You can check out mine, which is Game Classy Joe, and you can check out Steve, who is
Command Throw.
So Steve, until next time,
fuck Rum Tum Tugger.
Game Classy.